Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
This is Rebecca Turner, and thank you for listening to the Good Things Podcast here on Super Talk Mississippi.
It's Mississippi's Radio Happy Hour.
Well, I'm going to Mississippi. Mississippi, here I come.
You're listening to Good Things with Rebecca Turner.
Well, I'm going to Mississippi. Mississippi, here I come.
Bringing you the good stories of Mississippi's people, places, and things to do. Now, here's Rebecca.
Good afternoon, Super Talk Mississippi. You're tuned into your radio happy hour. That's the Good Things. I'm your host, Rebecca Turner. Don't forget, you can listen to Good Things. We are streaming live over at supertalk.fm. We're also streaming from that Super Talk Mississippi app. Of course, you can always find us, too, on your local Super Talk Mississippi radio station. But don't forget to watch us. So we are on your computer, your mobile device. Just head on over to Super Talk TV. Now, you've seen the headlines about the Mississippi doctor on a Florida beach vacation. He is being called a hero for his actions to save a teen shark attack victim's life. And today we get to hear Dr. Arlie's account of his vacation that went completely different than him and his wife probably imagined. Welcome, Dr. Arlie.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So what a whirlwind of a vacation for you and your family. Not what you had planned out, I'm sure, as you headed down to Florida.
Oh, no, absolutely. Completely unexpected and a surreal experience for us all.
So I feel like I'm the start of Dateline, but it started like any other beach day. But is that kind of how the day started for you and your family on that particular morning? Just a beautiful beach day and heading out to enjoy the waves?
Oh, yes, absolutely. It was a gorgeous day. It was sunny. There were tons of people out. The waves were relatively mild. In fact, it was such a nice day that it was the most crowded we've ever seen that area before, and we almost turned around because we weren't sure there was going to be a spot for us to put our umbrellas. That's how crowded the beach was. And in the last minute, my wife found a nice spot, and we headed down there and really started to enjoy the day, and the majority of the day was fine until, the unfortunate situation. My middle daughter had wanted to boogie board, and we'd been out there for a while boogie boarding before all of that happened.
And y'all didn't know, correct, Dr. Arlie? Of course you didn't. That about an hour and a half before, about 4 miles in one of the other directions of the beach, that there had been a shark attack already to another, I think, a 45-year-old woman that had happened prior to that. No alerts down the beach on that. They didn't seem to think that they should sound that alarm 4 miles down. Y'all were just kind of oblivious to what had already happened, correct?
That's right. I don't know what or if any kind of warning went out, but certainly the beach was open. A stark difference than after what happened at the beach where everyone was forced out and double red flags were flying with, police on pickup trucks telling people they'd be fine if they were in the water. So the beach was open. The beach was packed. Everyone was swimming. We certainly had no idea. And I would probably guess to say that the majority of people in that area had no idea there had been any kind of incident an hour and a half earlier.
So walk us through, I mean, you're having a wonderful beach day with your family, boogie boarding and all the things. Was it screams? Was it scatter? Did you see the shark? Kind of what it signaled to you, Dr. Arlie, like, oh no, this is changing. Something's progressing. Let me see what's going on here.
Yeah, absolutely. We were. I was actually in the water with my daughter, and I recognized. Retrospectively, I recognized that group of girls. We were probably 30 feet from them, I would guess, maybe a little more. But it was very obvious that something happened. It was what I would describe mass panic. All of a sudden, there were probably a few hundred people around. Everyone started running and there were lots of screaming, and I honestly assumed that someone had spotted a shark. Never in my wildest dreams would I think that there was an actual bite, but I assumed there was a shark spotted, and I I started getting my daughter out of the water. And then, you know, I realized kind of as we got closer to the shore that it was more serious because I saw lots of adults running into the water and grabbing children. And so I thought, well, maybe this is something more serious. And, you know, when I finally got her to the shore and her mom grabbed her from me, I looked to the left and the water was, you know, full of blood. I never actually saw the shark itself. I just ran towards the left where I saw the bloody water and saw them dragging the victim, two gentlemen dragging the victim out onto the beach from the water.
In that instance, Dr. Arley, does your training just take over? Does your instincts as a doctor just say, hey, like you mentioned, you ran to it? Like, I don't know what I'm missing to find, but, you know, maybe I can lend a hand or help. Like, are you already sort of triaging in your mind what needs to happen, or is it just kind of all a blur?
No, I think in my mind, you immediately start to, I think you quickly assess that there's someone hemorrhaging, just as anyone probably could tell, medical or not, but definitely I think not just me, multiple medically trained people immediately ran towards the victim, knowing that she needed all the help that she can get, and were able to kind of suppress all the emotion and chaos and panic on the beach, completely put it out of our mind to work towards the goal of trying to save this young girl.
How, in the terms of time, Dr. Arley, from you all finding her on the, like getting her out of the water, and then the rescue team actually getting there to take her to a facility, I'm sure it felt like hours, but was that quick? Were we talking like, you know, a couple minutes or 10 or 15 minutes? Did you guys have to give her medical care there on the beach?
Yeah, I honestly don't know the exact number. It did feel like an eternity. But I would venture to say it's probably 15 to 17 minutes of people applying tourniquets, holding pressure, trying to keep her alert, checking her pulse, checking her breathing, and most importantly, trying to control the bleeding and keep as much blood in her because she had lost so much. It felt like a very long time. But I would guess 15 minutes, maybe a little bit more, maybe a little bit less.
Once she was secure, I think it was by helicopter, she was taken to a facility that could better treat her. Does it like hit you then, Dr. Arley? Did you ever just break down and go, what the just happened? Did you ever have your moment to allow your own emotions, as you mentioned, you sort of packed to like process what had just sort of transpired in less than 30 minutes?
Oh, yes, certainly. Certainly afterwards, you know, it was just you start thinking about the gravity of the situation and how intense and wild and completely unexpected it felt, you know. When you initially ran up to the victim and the severity of the wounds, it really looked like a movie, you know. So it was something completely unexpected. But like I said, that was completely suppressed in the back of my mind and completely ignored so not just me, so my colleague Dr. Forbes, the other people that were there that were helping, I mean, I feel like everybody was able to kind of try to put that out of their mind and work together in a productive way. But yeah, absolutely, like you said, 30 minutes later, maybe an hour later, when we finally got to the house, it was surreal for everyone involved, you know.
And it's probably still surreal. Have we been able to have contact with her family? How is she doing? I know she had a friend along with her that also suffered some injuries, maybe not quite as severe as the young lady you all specifically helped. But do we have positive vibes about how it's going to end up?
Absolutely. I definitely was worried about getting any sleep that night, not knowing, you know, what had become of her, because, you know, it really, we had no idea. It was so severe that in my head, I thought it can go either way. And it was so wonderful to talk to her mom that evening from the hospital after she had gotten out of her initial surgeries and to know that she was alive. And, you know, she was still intubated in ICU, but that she was alive. And You know, things were looking like they were headed in the right direction. And more importantly, the night before last, I got a very sweet FaceTime from herself. The patient called me, and I got to see her smiling, pretty face, and it was so heartwarming and just the best thing someone could do for me.
Oh, that's wonderful
to speak to her.
You and the other medical
seems to be doing great.
Professionals, Dr. Arley, that was there, people say, you know, right time, like maybe wrong place or right time, wrong, however you want to say it, because it's not neither way. But I mean, kind of like a God thing that you guys were there and able to help as doctors in that moment. And so we just really appreciate you sharing your story. So happy to hear there's a happy ending. Let me know the next time you go to the beach. I'd like to go just in case, knowing that you're there. but no, I Absolutely. Hope you and your family are able to enjoy a less eventful beach trip next time, but we do appreciate your time.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right. You guys stick with us. We got more for you coming up next.
She's a wild one with an angel's face. She's a woman child in a state of grace. When she was 3 years old on her daddy's knee, he said, you can be anything you want to be. She's a wild one running free.
Hey, guys.
Big three.
Making your afternoon just a little brighter. It's Good Things with Rebecca Turner on Super Talk Mississippi.
Back to Good Things, streaming live over at supertalk.fm, also streaming from that Supertalk Mississippi app. Of course, you can always find us too on that local Supertalk Mississippi radio station. But don't forget to watch us. We are on your computer, your mobile device. Just head on over to Supertalk TV. You'll see I'm not alone in the studio. No shark attacks here, but in the Delta, you do have good catfish, but they've never killed anybody, have they, William or Will?
I was going to ask you how I was going to follow up shark attack guy, but hey, we have guy from Delta.
We have guy. Great. From No, not at all. Cleveland-based entrepreneur Will Bradham joining us. He's a long track record of success there in the Delta and giving back, which all are good things. I love that one of our longtime listeners of Good Things and friends of the show, Abe Draper, actually said, hey, Will's up to some really good there in the Delta. You need to get him down and on the show and talk about it. I'm just sorry you have to follow the shark hero, but you know what? We all have a hero. We're all a hero in our own right. How about that, Will?
I'm going to give it the college try right now. Yeah.
Okay, so how many businesses do you currently have going on in the Delta?
Currently, right now, we've five, yeah.
So where are those different businesses?
So my healthcare company, right at home, we operate in 13 counties in North Mississippi, anywhere from the Delta over to East Mississippi, Oxford, that area.
And what's its mission?
We're providing non-medical home care to the elderly and disabled. Very short story, but yeah. my father got lung cancer in 1996, and we decided to keep him at home until he passed. And so if we hadn't had people at home helping with Dad, it would have been impossible.
Right.
So flash forward 14 years, and I started a company that does that, and we see a lot of people on a daily basis. So
doing God's work.
It's a feel-good business. You don't get into that business if you're trying to become a millionaire.
Absolutely not. But I know a lot of families are grateful for that when that time comes and they need that type of service they can trust.
Yeah, and unfortunately, nobody knows what to do with that until the day it happens. It's right. Not like there's a lot of preamble to this where they're teaching people, you know, this is what you do when mom or dad or grandmother or grandfather gets sick and has to be homebound. Mm-hmm. What do you do? Nobody knows. And so then
there's no pamphlet for that.
It really becomes a very stressful situation. So we try to make it as easy as we can.
So that's one. Now we got four more. Keeping count.
So Delta Maids, it's a housekeeping and janitorial company. We service six counties in North Mississippi. Just keeping people's homes clean. And, there's a need for that too. People mm-hmm. don't want to do it on their off weekends. And both parents are working. Right. Yeah. I mean, I started it because I was not going to clean. So it's been doing well. We opened that in 12. I've got a rental property company. We manage some properties that I own and basically a couple other commercial properties. So I got out of that business a while back. It's a nightmare. Then I start took over the Lenny's Grill and Subs there in Cleveland back in 19. That's been a good business for us. I thought I was going to always shy away from restaurants because I worked in the food service industry for so long and saw those guys and girls struggling. But it's great. It provides a lot of jobs, and it's
So there has to be a story behind that, Will. You just see the Lenny Subs shop. Is it? I mean, obviously, it needed an opportunity for a new owner. I mean, no one just comes in and takes a thriving business necessarily takes over. Why? What did you see there? What was the purpose it was fulfilling there in Cleveland that you felt like it didn't need to close its doors?
You know, it they turned the lock on it one night, and so that's when I was. To me, I see something and I go, can I fix it? And that maybe not be the best idea in the world. There's been a lot of headaches with my mentality on that, but I just thought, you know, this will work. I can get it to work, and you know, we haven't looked back. It's been a successful business, and you know, at the end of the day, it's providing 15, 16 jobs for people that
mm-hmm. there in Cleveland would make a big difference.
It does. Mm-hmm. I mean, every little bit helps.
They're not going to easily find another job in Cleveland as quickly as they could in a larger metropolitan area.
Right. And I wanted it to be with a company that's got a decent track record, you know.
So that's number four, if I'm keeping up. Do
yes,
we have
ma'am.
A fifth one?
Yeah, number five, we just opened up end of March back to healthcare, and I saw a need for an adult day center. And so a lot of people refer to them as adult day cares. I think that sounds very remedial. Mm-hmm. So we call it Pinnacle Adult Day Center, and it's, again, for the elderly and disabled. So the initial part with Right at Home is that we're coming in and we're helping them with things like their ADLs, activities of daily living, getting up, getting dressed, getting them a hot meal, keeping the house clean and safe for them. Then what happens? And a lot of these people, our clients, their families are, I mean, out of the picture absent. So the only person seeing them on a daily basis is one of my caregivers. That makes me a little sad.
Mm-hmm.
So with the adult day center, it fills in that gap of them being able to have social time with their peers.
Mm-hmm.
We provide an activity, transportation to and from. It's a nice, safe environment for them because you don't know if they've got heat or air during the winter or summer months. We do at the facility. And a meal. So it gives them a lot of that social interaction that you just don't get.
And I can imagine that they enjoy it.
They love it.
And then obviously the people that the ones that have family members who maybe still have to work or have their kids of their own still live in a habit, they're so grateful for an opportunity for their loved one to get more social activity and get out of the house. I mean, really, mm-hmm. that's important. That's a huge piece of the wellness component is connection and interaction, socializing.
Well, and one of the wild things that you see is, and I guess I never thought about this, but we've got some young adults that, you know, have, you know, whatever they grew up with where they were not able to attend school, or once they age out of that 12th grade of school, if they're able to go and they don't go to college, but they still have to have constant care. How does the parent work?
So this is the adults with disability who aren't necessarily also elderly.
Correct. It's elderly and disabled. Correct.
Yeah.
So anybody over the age of, I think with the day center, you have to be 21. With the healthcare component, you have to be 18. So, and you would, I never really thought about it like that, but there's a lot of people out there that are mine and your age, way younger,
mm-hmm.
that have to have a lot of care.
Mm-hmm.
Just to get through a daily basis.
To have something social. They still want to feel involved and connected. And all of those things play back into all the other pieces of their health sort of as well. Will, where did you get this? If I see a need, I want to fix it. Did you pick up strays as a kid? Do you have a lot of like stray cats and dogs at home?
You would think. And just me and the dog and the two kids. That's it. But I don't know. My dad was a, God love him, was a very generous man, he was very stern. If you ever talked to him, you would think he was going to murder you. But I saw him do a lot of things that went unchecked. And I guess maybe I picked it up from him. Both my parents are great. And I just decided, you know, why not do the – if I'm going to do the businesses, let's do the feel-good businesses. and they may not be as, you know, super cool as everything else, and some people would just let that, you know, the restaurant just, it's done, it's over with. I can see potential in certain things, and I'm not done. So I've got a couple more in the pot right now.
See the potential too in the Mississippi Delta. I know you're a graduate of Delta State, but why the Delta? Why stay? With an entrepreneurial mind like you, obviously some business skills to keep five businesses plus more afloat. Like, why invest in the Mississippi Delta?
I think if everybody has the mindset that we're not going to invest here and we're going to go off to the big cities, nothing wrong with, you know, Jackson, Memphis, Nashville, these other places. That's great. Two things, there's a ton of competition in the bigger cities. So does it level up the type of business you're doing? Absolutely. But if we pull away from all the Delta towns and don't reinvest in them, I've seen what happens in the Delta towns that you don't reinvest in. And so I made a decision. I'm fully invested in there. It's not like I'm not doing business elsewhere in the state, but that's my wheelhouse. And so
you graduated from Delta State. Where did you grow up?
Clarksdale, Mississippi.
So you grew up in Clarksdale. You got educated in the Delta. So Cleveland, is that where you and your kids, is that home for you guys?
It was. We're in Oxford now. Okay. So I've got my kids part-time. So I spend about 8 to 10 days every 2 weeks in Oxford, and then I come back to Cleveland, and that's when I do work.
What's the mileage between Cleveland and Oxford?
From my office to my house in Oxford, it is 98 miles exactly.
So yeah. Funny, the things that you know from University of Southern Miss to Terry, Mississippi was 88 miles from my dorm room to my parents' driveway. It's just funny the things that when you drive back and forth.
Because it's nonstop.
Because it was nonstop for you. 98 miles, you went 20 more miles for me one way or the other. But still, I think it's great that you didn't just leave what you had started there, sort of in Cleveland, that you recognize that there is growth and good things to do, and we're not stopping there. Stick with us. We got more with Will coming up next.
From Rebecca Turner.
She looks healthy and sane.
Good Things with Rebecca Turner continues on Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome back to Good Things, streaming live over at supertalk.fm. Also streaming from that Supertalk Mississippi app. Hope you know you can find us too on that local Supertalk Mississippi radio station. But don't forget to watch us. We are on your computer, your mobile device. Just head on over to Supertalk TV. We are continuing our conversation with Will Bradham. He is a Cleveland-based entrepreneur. He's got five businesses that we know about so far, some in the work. But the most important thing is you love to give back and you feel like there's good things to still do there in the Delta region, which I think is really cool. Being an entrepreneur, though, is hard. Like, why did you go that route, Will? I mean, even you could have gotten into something that was a little more secure or less up and down, but what drew you to, like, hey, you know, I want to do this myself. I want to see something start and flourish or not.
Yeah. Well, the short story is Dad was an entrepreneur. And, I mean, he came from absolutely nothing and started a phenomenal business, and I always wanted to do that. But I went the safe route after college and worked in corporate America for 10 years. And I didn't like it just got to where it was mundane and way, way, way too structured. And I
started itching.
I like to, whether it's going to fail or succeed, I'd rather make the 100% decision on my own. And so I enjoy it. There's a lot of days that I cuss it, and then there's days like today where I'm sitting in Jackson, Mississippi, and I'm hanging out on a radio show. So, I mean, I've got such great people that work for me now that mm-hmm. have been there for a long time that I can go and do the things I want, especially spend a lot of time with my kids. So that's a big bonus, too.
What are some of the hardest things, though, that are facing entrepreneurs right now? Like, for those listening, maybe they have a dream or a vision to step out. Maybe they're wanting to save the sub shop that's in their community or whatever XYZ that is. But, you know, everything you hear is negative. Everything you hear is scary in terms of taking those kinds of risk. I mean, what's the real life kind of risk reward on taking a gamble in your small town?
I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It is tough. Everything depends on the economy. So when the economy is not bustling and we've got high gas prices, and that determines everything that we purchase, whether it's an employee getting from place to place or you're purchasing products to use in your restaurant. It's been tough the last 3.5-4 years. You've got to be prepared and focus on when things are good, we put some stuff back in the good times. And when things are bad, you better be relying on that stuff you put back. You know, kind of like the squirrel putting back some nuts for the winter. If you don't prepare on this end, you're going to have a lot of trouble when the time comes that it's not good. So we're kind of in that area right now where it's just a little tough. But I would tell any entrepreneur, if you're don't get into anything that you're not passionate about. If you don't love it on day one, like I was telling somebody the other day, I get as excited right now, 12 years later, about getting a new client as I did back in 2012. And if you can't feel that way while you're doing business, you need to probably look at maybe getting out of it, doing something you do love. But if you don't love it, don't get in it. It's that simple. I know you obviously love the radio. Okay.
Oh yeah, it's a wild ride.
Right, right. So, you know, don't do anything that you're not passionate mm-hmm. about. It's just that simple. So, you know.
But that is a good sort of barometer on stepping out. And sometimes your passion can just be doing the right thing for your town, or wanting to see your town as a whole sort of succeed, or, you know, helping, and even not owning it, just getting involved with those that are trying to restore or to set up shop. I mean, and we talk about all the time here on Good Things, Will, to eat, shop, play, stay, all the things local. And so when you do that, you are doing your part, even if you're not necessarily the one who pays the bills or has the keys to the store. Forefront, like it takes all of us to sort of keep those things alive.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, if you're not supporting your local community, and that's everything from spending your dollars there to volunteering there, and then the simple things. Just not if you have a bad experience. How about you not bash the local guy, because he is the local guy that's sponsoring your child's ball team and throws in money for the weekend concert that's out on the green and everything else. It's really. Being invested in all the people and all the aspects of your community, because at the end of the day, every single one of those people lives there and they're all contributing back to the community. So it's to me, it's a no-brainer. For some people, this is hard for them to fathom.
Wild idea. If you have a bad experience at a restaurant, call and tell the manager before you tell Facebook.
Well,
because if you did have you do have a terrible experience, it doesn't always need to be swept under the rug. But make sure that, you know, you handle, try to handle it in-house before, you know.
Crazy concepts
in that way. Somewhere on the line, too, though, Will, you decided to start a podcast. Where did you think that you, what did you feel like you needed to say that you couldn't, you know, that wasn't out there?
I think about that every time I cut the mics on. But
what's the name of your podcast?
It's we did a lot of focus groups on this, and we came up with the Will Bradham Podcast. They're very original.
Did your kids come up with that?
Yeah. I wrote it down in crayon on a piece of paper.
Why did you feel like you needed a podcast?
I don't know. I'll say this. When I got more time with my children and I moved over to Oxford, I realized that between the hours of 8 and 2, I was bored out of my mind sitting in my house. So I had a friend of mine that suggested, she said, why don't you do a podcast? So then I bought this little bit of equipment, and now it's a pretty sizable amount of equipment that I have to carry around in like 2 suitcases. But we have a blast. My nephew Vance and his wife Avery get on there, and we'll bring on some of their friends. I do interviews. it's just fun. I'm not monetizing it. I did get a check from Spotify for $3.81 2 months ago.
I think you should invest that.
It cost me more to take it to the bank.
Your privacy and respect out of those while you think about what to do with your earnings.
You'd be amazed the churches and charities that have called me up wanting to get a piece of that $3.81. But
what's the conversations about? Is it about just business in the Delta, or what are we talking about?
And when it started out, it was a lot of politics, and then it has morphed into, we just sit on there and talk about just current events that are going on, stuff that's happening locally, stuff that's happening globally. We drink while we're doing it.
And, they won't let me do that here.
Isn't that a shame?
I know. I've tried to get a Bloody Mary tour for me and Rhino, but it just keeps getting shot down. Well, you know, there's like, you know, when you actually get on statewide radio, it's the FCC and all these like rules and regulations. Can you believe it, Will?
I had to remember I couldn't cuss.
So no, you can't. Which was, we do have a dump button. But
thank God. We need to. Yeah, it would be nothing but dump button going on if this was a regular. But yeah, one of our favorite listeners. His name is Lonnie Earl Dodd. Yes, he sends us almost every week a big half gallon of Tito's or this other vodka called Deep Eddie's, but he sends it over to us. And that's kind of our...
To get the conversation started.
He does it almost every other week, yeah.
Sounds awesome. Like you're having fun. I also hear you're a big foodie. So you're in a good place in terms of Mississippi. What is it about Mississippi's food scene that excites you, Will?
I have always said this about restaurants in our area, or in the whole state. It seems like everything's a destination, which makes it that much better. Because it's just not... I'm not a big... Even though I have a chain restaurant, I'm not a chain restaurant guy. So I love to see the mom and pops, because I worked in that world for so long, succeed. It just, to me, it means more when it's coming out of one of their kitchens, and because they're tied to it and they really care about what they're pumping out. So
what's one of the mom and pops that you wish more people would go visit? Our Good Things listeners love good food.
Oh, man.
Especially if it's local.
Yeah, don't put me on the spot. I've got a lot of favorite restaurants. Some of my favorites in Cleveland area. One that I worked at in college, and the man who owned it I loved to death, was Crawdad's in Marigold, Mississippi. Just a hole in the wall small town. I like a New York strip. They don't do one, so I usually get a ribeye. Or I'll get the they have a red snapper dish that I love up there. It's fantastic.
Is that restaurant still open and thriving?
Oh yeah, they're jamming. Yeah, yeah, rocking and rolling. I stopped by there. It's been about a month ago. But yeah, that's just because of that's the place I worked that got me through college and paid for college. So love it there. It's a great spot.
I also saw where you were inducted into the Delta State Hall of Fame in 2019. What was that for?
Yeah, they ran out of people. I think I just gave a big enough check, maybe. I don't know. They just said for service to the university, and I'm very humbled about it. So, yeah, it was a big deal.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah.
I feel like, what keeps you giving back? What is it about your community that you love so much that you just feel like it's still worth investing in and fighting for?
This sounds bananas, but I keep thinking in the back of my mind that other people are going to see it and decide to jump on board, because I think there's a lot of people that kind of give up on certain areas and they just say, whatever. And I can't do it. I know the people. I love the people. They've supported me for all these years, and I'm going to do it until I can't do it anymore. So.
Well, when you open up business 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10, you are welcome back to
They're
Good
coming.
Things. Where can we find your podcast and you online, Will?
It's on Spotify and Apple, the Will Bratton Podcast. You'll love it.
All righty. And look, shark what? Shark did what? Nobody
Who's did somebody save? Did somebody save a shark?
Thank you, Will. Y'all stick with us. We got more for you coming up next.
Rebecca Turner.
She's smart and pretty?
Good Things with Rebecca Turner continues on Super Talk Mississippi.
Back to Good Things, streaming live over at supertalk.fm. We're also streaming from that Supertalk Mississippi app. We hope you have downloaded that. You can always find us too on that local Supertalk Mississippi radio station, but don't forget to watch us. We are on your computer, your mobile device. Just head on over to Supertalk TV. Don't forget to the Thunder and Lightning Catfish Tour, which is presented by Superior Catfish, is back. And Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk are with Thunder and Lightning Podcast. They're trekking around the state to catfish houses to talk food and, of course, Bulldog Sports. You can catch the show anywhere that you listen to podcasts and watch the episodes on Supertalk Mississippi's YouTube channel. For generations, Superior Catfish has cultivated fresh, delicious catfish, and they've perfected a process to ensure you receive the finest product available. So remember, always ask for Superior Catfish at your favorite grocer and restaurant, from sharks to catfish and everything in between. Rhino, do you know how you would respond if you found yourself on a luscious beach with a shark? Now, if you're on a beach with a shark, then that means you've got the leg up, because you're not, in the ocean with a shark.
It would depend on what I was doing in the ocean. Like, if I were like the doctor there and I was just at the beach, just wading out into the water, mm-hmm. and saw a shark, I would probably then leave the water.
I'm not sticking around but to get closer.
I'm not opposed to the idea of diving with sharks, where you got the big cage and you put on the scuba gear and you get in the cage.
Okay,
and
the cage, yes.
The shark can't get at you. Even though there have been incidents where the shark got into the cage or through the cage or crushed the cage.
That's very rare.
That's the same as like the paraglider losing the blind. It happens, but it's rare and people still do it. So. Mm-hmm. Just like I would still go paragliding, I would still get in a cage to check out the sharks.
Sounds crazy, because my toxic trait is, if there was a Jurassic Park, I'd probably still go. I might would get in the cage. I don't know if you told me great whites, maybe not. I don't know. There's a part, I don't know. There's that moment of like, yes, I would do it. And then there's that moment of, okay, get in. And so I'm not sure if the yes, I would do it would, you know, sink away to the no, you're not, when I got to that moment. But I could have that conversation if that opportunity ever sort of arose.
All right, then would you go the next step up?
No.
And
I'm
wear,
not even at that step fully yet.
So you wouldn't wear the diving suit chainmail they have now?
Oh, God, no. I'm going to need, like, I probably would put that on and then also get in said sort of cage. And I don't want to go way down and, like, feed them things. I would like to just hang out at the top and, like, sort of be able to kind of see it. But, yeah, that kind of, because it
kind of. Well, usually they try to keep the top of the cage right at the water level so that shark can't go over the top and get in.
Well, there's not a top. There's not a lid to it.
Not like a full locking closing lid. Not usually, no. Not that I've seen. Then again, I haven't actually done it. I've only ever seen it done on video.
And then again, too, I don't know exactly how I'd feel. I know how excited I get whenever we went to Ship Island, and the captain was like, hey, we see dolphins out to the front, and they named off all those boat directions. And I was like, oh, let me go see. And it feels really cool that, like, you're in the water in a boat with the dolphins. Like, yay. I'm not really sure how that would have transpired, if it would have been like, hey, to our left, we see a shark. And even though the boat's bigger than the shark, and I know it's not Jaws, I'm just not sure. I know that my panic would totally set in if I was on the beach with my children, and then everybody hollered that, and we start running. Like, I am a child of the 80s, 90s. Like, I mean, Jaws is real. If you, I don't know if Jaws is real, but, like, that fear is really instilled in
it was really a giant animatronic.
Yeah, yes. And if you've ever been to Disney and actually rode the Jaws ride back, I don't know, they may have changed it now.
It's not there anymore.
Okay, so it's not there anymore. So if you got the opportunity, I was the person that still jumped. Like, I was the kid.
That ride really was good, cheesy fun.
It was, but, like,
because you got the person that's the employee of the park, mm-hmm. that is your guide, driving the boat. The boat's on a rail. The rail's underwater. It's not going anywhere. But they're acting out parts of the show you're inside. And they, they obviously do it all day long, many times a week, so they've got it down pat. But it was genuinely impressive when they pull out the gun and shoot at the shark, and they do it all in one motion, and when they pull the trigger, the water splashes. It's like, that was well-timed.
And then I'm the person in the boat who stepped onto the track train thing that screams, knowing that I chose this life. It's like the person who goes into the haunted house and then decides that they're going to die in the middle of it because apparently these people want to kill me, but yet I paid money to come in here and do this. And so that is why. If you want like a really good belly laugh and you've never seen the lady who talks about you go to the beach, you don't go to the ocean, if you've never seen that video and you just need a good gut check laugh, then search that up on Google and you're welcome, because she explains it perfectly why you go to the beach and you don't go to the ocean. While you get eating. I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to let that linger and give you the opportunity to have a good laugh today. Stick with us, though. You got more coming up next. You got the boys with Sports Talk from 3 to 6. Rhino and I will meet you back here tomorrow at 2. But until then, I hope you all find time for the good things.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.